We're talking about respect. We're actually talking about these character traits that we're to have and to teach our generations. And interesting enough that Cheryl's here. She was here the night I taught this to the young adults, but I didn't do this part. So you get the part I didn't do. We're working on work relationships. Yeah, yeah. Now, not only am I going to talk about it today, but I'm going to talk about it Sunday. So Sunday, we're going to talk actually about this again on Sunday from a different perspective, from the same passage of Scripture or one of them. And it's just weird how that came about. I didn't plan that. But I think I'm hearing more and more people dealing with issues in their work relationships. Sunday we're going to talk about relationships, period. We're going to talk about Spirit-guided relationships. Remember last week I talked about how to be filled with the Spirit? Now how does it work out in our relationships? And so we're going to talk about marriage relationships. We're going to talk about parent-child relationships, and we're going to talk about workplace or marketplace relationships on Sunday morning. And then we're going to get to a place in Ephesians where we're going to stop for a month, and we're going to actually spend the entire month of September talking about outreach. Sunday is our big outreach. September is our big outreach month. We're going to do Faith in Action, and we're going to be teaching, talking about things that will prepare us for that, as well as having sign-ups and all kinds of stuff. I got so excited in our staff meeting, I forgot. I didn't even realize it was 5 minutes after 7. We're still in there just eking it out. I was just loving it. We were having a great time. And this thing's going to come together. It's going to be really good this year. I mean, it was great last year. It's going to be really good this year. And we're going to see a great increase in our hearts, I believe, from as we serve other people in love. And so we'll be hearing about all that as the time goes on. The whole month of September is about outreach, and we're going to really kick it out. We're going to kick it off this first Sunday, by the way, with a cookout right out here, a fish fry on the September 4th. You won't want to miss that. And then we'll get right on into some things about outreach throughout the month. On the 18th, we're going to do another tag team sermon. The three pastors are going to actually take a point of a sermon, and we're going to preach. All three of us are going to preach on the same Sunday, each at a different time, 15 minutes each, and we're going to talk about something that you'll want to hear about. So, it's not a surprise, but we'll tell you along the way maybe, but we just got it dealt out there tonight, and I'm really excited about it. And I think it's going to pump you up and get you ready for what we'll do the next Sunday, which is the last Sunday of September, which we're going to go out into the community. But we're going to be doing it on Wednesday night, the 21st, part of it. We're going to be doing a part of it Saturday, the 24th, and we're going to be doing a part of it Sunday, the 25th. And so you're going to have several opportunities to get involved. Everybody is. And so if there's one thing that doesn't fit with your schedule, something else will. You know, so that's how it's going to work. And we're hoping that some of you real faithful Wednesday nighters are going to be signing up for everything. Okay, because we need your help everywhere, every time. Wednesday night, we'll actually spend a Wednesday night taking the bags out into the different communities. The leaders of each of the teams, neighborhood teams, will take us out and we'll pass out the bags and with the little thing on it. Find any way you want to do it. We're going to actually have people. We're going to actually ask people in the church to bring food every time you come to church, and we're going to be making a stack right over here somewhere around the posters and all that. And we're going to actually be getting food before the Sunday. I'm just talking about the mechanics of the weekend. And so Wednesday night, we'll all, instead of having our regular teaching time, we'll pray and we'll go out in the neighborhoods and we'll talk about the take those bags out and give them out and tell people as we can that we're going to be back on Sunday, and it'll say it right on the paper, right on the bag, on a paper on the bag or something. And then we're going to, Saturday, we have an opportunity to sit in front of a neighborhood market, a Walmart, and be able to collect food. And then we're going to try to do one-hour increments. We'll have two tables, so we'll need four people per hour for 6 hours. That's 24 people. 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., but you'll work one-hour shifts, just like we did the ringing the bell kind of thing. And so, or, you know, if we don't get enough people signed up, we can do it a little longer, but I think we're just going to be overflowing. I'm excited. And then we'll collect that food and bring it over, and then on that Sunday, the teams will go back out. We'll eat breakfast at 8 o'clock. By 9 o'clock, we're going to be out on the streets picking up the food. All the mechanics will be taught along the way. And then we will get it to the Father's business on that Sunday, unload it and put it on their shelves. And by the time they open on Tuesday for their first day to help the needy, they're going to be so overfilled with food. It's going to be cool. And we're also stocking a shelf, a little pantry thing down in Norman at Cindy's work that will help some people in Cleveland County with some food too. And we're going to stock that as well. So, but a lot of it's going to go to the Father's business, and so we're excited about it. We need trailers, we need pickups, we need people, we need people to sign up, we need you to buy a T-shirt, and we'll just tell you the whole deal as it goes, okay? And so there's lots of good stuff coming up. We get the opportunity to touch our community with the love of Jesus in more ways than one. Not only do we get to walk in their neighborhoods and pray over their homes, but we get to be able to take the food that they give and reach about 600 people a month go through the Father's business. So we're going to be able to feed people for lots of months with the food that we're raising to make a ton of difference. And so we're really excited, and really appreciate Donna and Ken for working so hard on it and setting up a lot of the framework that makes it happen. I get to get up here and talk about it like I know what I'm talking about, but they're doing all the work. So I'm really pumped, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm going to be right out there with you. So we're going to be doing it. Okay. Non-perishable food. Yeah. So Canada. In some of your questions will be answered when we get the paperwork all put together, the posters up. A lot of those little details will come together. But just in the bigger picture, we're excited about touching our city. Amen? Okay. We're going to talk about work relationships tonight, and we'll actually hit it again on Sunday morning. And we're going to use this passage that I'm going to read tonight. I don't know what page it is on your thing. Page three. Ephesians 6, 5 to 8. I put it in there for you. It goes like this. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Now, we'll be talking about this again Sunday, but let me just tell you guys in advance. You get a little advance notice. There was approximately 80 million slaves in the Roman Empire. And they estimated that one-third of the Roman Empire were slaves. So when Paul was writing to the churches in Ephesus in South Asia, he was writing from a Roman prison. And he was writing in context to what he was experiencing. That's what a writer does. And he's saying, when he uses this terminology of slaves, it was a understandable thing in their time. They knew what a slave was. If we were to try to bring that into the 21st century, we would see this as our work relationships. We don't call them slaves and masters. We call them employees and employers. Okay? And so, because we do have emancipation and We don't have slaves anymore. We're just slaves of Christ, right? Now he says, you slaves, or you employees, obey your earthly masters or your employers, but do it with respect. Now here's the problem right here. Attitude is everything. When one of my Jonathan's many cars, vehicles when he was growing up, he traded cars like he traded his jeans. I'm telling you what, that kid went through more cars. Caleb had two cars. Actually, Caleb has had three cars his entire life. Jonathan had three his first year, I think. And this last year. He's always traded cars a lot. It's just a difference in personalities. But one of the cars, or automobiles, that Jonathan got was this really cool pickup. It was blue, and it was a Chevy. Said, and right on the tailgate thing, it said, attitude is everything. And I thought, man, that's true. Attitude is everything. When we go to work, we do our job. And by the way, if you work at home and you don't have a quote-unquote earthly master or an employer, our work ethic still needs to be the same. I'll talk a little bit of Sunday about what Christ says the work ethic is for the believer. But it all starts with an attitude, and this attitude is this thing called deep respect. There has to be a respect for authority in general. Now, do you guys see that we maybe have a little problem, small problem in our society, that people don't have a respect for authority? In general, you see that, and I'm not just talking about. You could start talking about political stuff. You could start talking about all that. People do this and do that, but there's basically a loss of this idea or this concept of respect in our society, as a general rule. Now, I'm not talking about any of you guys, of course, but you see that. You see it in the schools. You guys are school teachers. You know what I'm talking about. You probably see it with other employees at your workplaces and marketplaces. I think it's extremely disrespectful, and Donna, we probably shouldn't put this in the book. I might get sued over this, but I believe it is intensely disrespectful for a store to build a building that's half the size of Dallas and only open three registers. I think it's disrespectful to me. Yeah. It's disrespectful to my time. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So I don't think it's just from the standpoint of the employee not respecting an employer or a younger person not respecting an older person. I think we've lost this concept of respect across the board in our society. By the way, did you hear there was an earthquake in Washington, D.C.? They found out that the fault line was right underneath a cemetery. And what happened was all of our forefathers turned over in their grave at the same time. Thanks. I didn't make it up. I read it somewhere. Well, it finally caused an earthquake. We don't have respect for our foundation as a country. We've lost respect for those who lead in a lot of ways. You know that even, and I don't say this about anybody in this church, because everybody here treats me like a king. I get treated too good around here, actually. Fact of the matter is Cindy's always telling me that my job is so easy, and she's right. It is. I've got the cush job, man. I mean, you know what? It is really pretty easy. There are a few times I work really hard. I really hold some deep thing, but it's like every once in a while. It's like when I worked for United Parcel Service in California. I had a job unloading trucks, and I worked constantly unloading this truck, man, fast as you can. Of course, there's a guy walking by going, faster, faster, And anyway, I hated that. And so I finally got this job in this hub. It was called the bulk cage. Now, the bulk cage was made up of stuff like tires and things that were steel, and that they couldn't put on conveyor belts, so they would stick them up underneath the docks, and they'd be on these little tables along an area, and this big carousel would be going around, and every 20 minutes on the carousel was a bulk cage. It was a very dangerous job because, without going into great detail and explaining to you, next to you on each side were a top, middle, and bottom box on this carousel. And when this carousel would get to the place where those boxes were supposed to go out, this electrical thing would go, and these boxes would go flying out onto the chute. Well, if you're sticking your head out of the bulk cage where I worked, and one of those chutes came along and cut your neck off or cut you in half or cut your feet off, I mean, it would just depend on where you were. It was a pretty dangerous job. But what was so cool about the job is you only worked about every 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes, you'd come close to these sets of tables or this dock that had all this big stuff on there, and you kind of put one foot back like this and you just go, choo, 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 like that, throw all this stuff in this box and behind you, and then you'd sort it, and then when you got around to where it goes out to go in another truck, you'd pull it out and throw it down on the table and somebody pick it up and put it in the truck. It was an easy job. I loved that job. I could get out of my box, go around and talk to people, give them a hard time about the job. Man, you stink at that. And go on. Then I could jump back in my bulk cage and work some more every 20 minutes. That's crazy. It's kind of like pastoring. You only work every once in a while. At least that's what people think. But I have really do, now this is a serious part, I really do feel deeply respected by New Beginning. And I have for a very long time. I get treated very, very nice. But what I've found is that when I get on an airplane or I talk to somebody in the public and they ask me what I do and I say a pastor, I get a different response than I did 10 years ago. Much different response. Because we have lost a basic fundamental respect for our foundation. What the most foundational point of life is our work. That is a foundational stone, what we do for a living. Whether we teach or work at a bank or an engineer or whatever we are, even housewives, whatever. If you're whatever kind of jobs you do, our job or our work ethic is really a character trait of who we are. And so when we don't have a good godly work ethic, then honestly, we are not really being a good representative of our Savior. So he says that employees, you obey the employer with deep respect and fear, this awe, kind of an awe of who they are. Serve them sincerely, but do it as you would serve Christ. Now, that changes the picture, doesn't it? Because now I have to take every person that I work for and change their face. I have to be able to say, look past what's right here on their face and see the person of Jesus and say, I'm not serving you. I'm serving someone much bigger than you. That's not as easy to do as it is to say. Does anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Now, you can relate it to anybody. Serve them sincerely as you would Christ. How would you serve Christ if he was your employer? How would you serve him if he was your customer? How would you serve him if he was the one that you were responsible to? Well, then that's how you serve. Now you might ask, what if they don't deserve it? They didn't say anything about deserving it here. It just says, this is what we should do. Now, this is important. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're looking, not just when they're watching you. I believe that Christians really break their witness when they're not focused on their job and doing their job well. Now, you can have a bad day. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that missed moment. But, you know, I used to have this friend. He worked at a meat packing company. And he would come to church and he would gloat and tell everybody how much time he actually spent hiding in the bathroom and other places to keep from having to be out on the line and doing the work. And I went to him one day and I said, bro, listen, your working is under God, not under man. And when you do your job over there, he was a new Christian. I said, when you do your job over there, you're doing it for Jesus. And when you go hide in the bathroom and you make jokes about that and you kind of gloat over that you got out of work, you're not being a good representative of the person that we really represents, the person of Jesus. I said, I don't want to put you under the law or in condemnation. I just want you to realize something you may not realize being a new believer. Well, he had no idea. He had no idea that was in the Bible. Everybody did it. And he'd worked there for a long time. You know what? That guy went from being one of the guys that was always on the, what they called at the plant, the cut line, which is where they were going to fire him or let him go. He became one of their top employees because he took on this attitude that Paul gives us in Ephesians about how we're to work. And it's important to do it not just when people are watching, but all the time, because it's the right thing to do. Now, I don't have anybody telling me when I have to come to the building. I don't punch a clock. I don't have anybody going, you've got to be there every morning at 9 o'clock, punch the clock. Nobody does that to me. I don't sign into a computer at a certain time, say I'm working. All I have is my word to you that I actually do something. Right? Well, I have a choice of whether I'm going to be faithful with the work ethic that God would be pleased with, or am I going to skirt the issues? Well, you know, I try to work with all my heart. And now I'm probably not going to be hiding in the bathroom. Now, I have my days. I had a day last Tuesday, not yesterday, but last Tuesday. And I woke up with the worst headache in the entire planet. Nobody's ever had a headache this bad, I know. Every time I lifted my head up, I felt like I was going to throw up, you know. And I had to keep the lights off and keep it dark in the room. And I slept, and I did it all day long. Well, I can't lose a day in my week. I don't know about you guys and your job, but if I lose a day of my week, nobody's over here doing my job. So then I have to really make up for it. So guess what I had to do last Saturday? I had to work about 5 hours last Saturday because I spent last Tuesday in bed. Because you know what? When I stand up here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, I have to be ready. I can't just get up here and bebop through the Bible. You know, this is not just Ron's rambling time. I've thought this stuff through. I've prayed over it. I've sought God over what I should say and what I shouldn't. And then I trust the Holy Spirit to lead me and direct me to say what I say. This isn't all I do. I was here till 8 o'clock last night doing counseling. And sometimes two or three nights, evenings a week, I'm meeting with people. I go to the hospitals. I hang out at restaurants with friends in the church. And I talk to people about Jesus. But I'm really quick to say, look, I got to get back to work too. Because I need to show that example. So what I'm saying by all that is that we need to have a good, healthy work ethic, but not towards just our boss or the company, but towards the Lord. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. So when you're at your job, you know what? You're not employed by that employer. You're employed by the God of the universe to be his secret agent to that world. You're it. You are God's agent to the earth. The Bible says in Corinthians that we are his ambassadors We're his ambassadors, as though God would make his appeal through us. That's an awesome thought. That God, the God of the universe, and his message that he gave through the love of God through Christ, we are the ambassadors. We're the ones responsible to take that message to our world. So Cheryl doesn't work at First Fidelity Bank. She works for God. They may make out her paycheck at the end of the 2 weeks or whatever, but at the end of the day, she's there to represent the love of Jesus. Now, does that mean every single person she witnesses to? No. But what it means is that she is an example of the love of Christ. When people reach her and come into her sphere of influence, they need to experience Christ whether you say one word about him or not. Jonathan always says, witness every day, and when all else fails, use words. Everything that we do, we need to let it just exude Jesus wherever we are. You don't have to even say anything sometimes. I get this every once in a while, quite a bit actually. Have you ever had somebody just walk up to you out of the blue and say, you know, there's something about you. I don't know what it is about you, but I'm interested. I have it happen every once in a while. I remember one particular story. It was so funny because I was in Odessa, Texas. You know where Odessa, Texas is? That's right by Midland, Texas. If you know where Midland, Texas is, you know where Odessa, Texas is. They're just like cities right next to each other. And it's over in West Texas. And I was there preaching. I'd been there. In fact, Greg Johnson and I were at a big youth function in Midland, at the Four Square Church there, and I couldn't get home in time to preach at our church in Garland, so they asked me if I'd preach at the Odessa Church. It was, by the way, at that church where I've told you the story about the young lady who had no shoulder socket. Her arm was straight down here. That was the day, and we prayed for her, and for the first time in her entire life, she stuck her hand right up. God created an absolute shoulder socket in that young girl's life. She didn't have one. They had x-rays that showed that it was not there. This was just a solid mass right here. So I went to this little restaurant in Odessa, Texas. Now, restaurants in Odessa, Texas on Sunday have two kinds of people in them: church people and cowboys. And I had a suit on because back in those days you wore a suit when you preached. And I didn't have a cowboy stuff. Well, I did have my boots, but I didn't wear them. And so I went to sit down over here at this table, and you know, we're sitting there and getting ready to order and stuff. And this guy walks over, and he's got a 10-gallon hat on. I mean, he got the big white, wide-brimmed cowboy hat. He looked about 9 foot tall because he was tall, and then he had this hat on. And I thought, my word, this guy, he's walking right up to me. And he had this West Texas drawl. Have you ever heard somebody from West Texas talk? And he said, Mister? That's what he called me, Mister. I'll never forget that. I thought, Mister? Who's he talking to, you know? I was just a young kid. And he goes, there's something about you, young man, I'd like to know about. And he did the old cowboy thing. It just so impressed me. He just took this chair from another table and stuck it through here like this and sat on it with and he leaned his arms down on this chair like this and he said, tell me what you're about. So for the next 35 minutes, I told him all about Jesus Christ. People were eating. I didn't eat lunch. I had to get on an airplane in just a little bit, and I had to hurry because I have a tendency to talk. Have you noticed? I had an airplane to catch, and so I had to hurry. And I got to lead that guy with the 10-gallon hat to Jesus Christ right there in that restaurant because he was interested in who I was. We need to exude that, especially in our workplaces, in our marketplaces, where we go, when we're in the store, where we are. I was talking to Crown Ministries today about ways that they can be a blessing. And one of the ways they can be is when they're in a grocery store and people start, you know how they start conversations, and they'll say, man, prices are, you know, whatever. Nah, nah, nah. Why don't you just stop and just make some kind of statement about God being your provider. Just find a way to say it. You don't have to necessarily sound religious. Just say something. Yeah, they are high. You know, acknowledge the fact that they are high. Prices are high. Milk shouldn't be as high as it is right now. Milk shouldn't be that high, but it is. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I'm going to have milk. I like milk. My God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Some of them's got to be milk cows. So I'm going to get milk. I like milk. You with me? So wherever we're at, we need to have that kind of attitude that exudes Christ. And we don't necessarily have to wear it on our t-shirt, although that's good. We don't necessarily have to say it in religious sounding words. In fact, it's better if we don't. Just be it. Just be it. Wouldn't that be cool if we could just be it? Yeah. Work with enthusiasm as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slave or free. Work with enthusiasm. Now, there's an interesting truth in this passage I want to leave you with tonight. Serve them sincerely as you would Christ. Serve Christ. That one statement there. The word sincerely is the word for integrity. So when it says that we should serve them sincerely, it means we should serve with integrity of heart. If a person's paying me X number of dollars per hour, or if you're the salary type person who gets paid a certain salary for your work, then I need to give them at least that much of my time, effort, and energy for what they're paying me. Okay? That integrity. Integrity says, I'm going to give them back what they deserve for what they're paying me. Now, here's our human nature. Human nature says, you're paying me this much money, and I work a lot more than you think I do. And so for this couple hours, I'm just going to skip out and just try to, you know, whatever. Listen, work sincerely. You know what you need to do on your job. Now, in 1 Timothy 6, it says, all slaves should show full respect for their masters, so they will not bring shame on the name of God and his teaching. If the masters are believers, that is no excuse for being disrespectful. And what had happened in this time in the scripture was that a lot of people started getting saved. So we had slaves and masters who every day during the week they worked as slave and master, but on Sunday went to church together, as it were. It's kind of trying to make it something you can understand. Kind of get a touch of it. And so what was happening was, as people started thinking, well, this guy and I are the same at church. I mean, we're equal. We're brothers at church. So why is it that when I'm in a workplace, I don't... So Paul tells Timothy, show full respect to your employer. So why? So that you'll not bring shame upon the name of God. And if the masters are believers, that's no excuse for being disrespectful. In other words, you don't treat them differently. In fact, you treat them maybe with more respect because you know they're a believer. But those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well loved. So Paul tells us how we should work with all of our heart. One more passage, I'm just going to read it and I'll get you out of here. 1 Peter 2:18-20 says, you who are slaves must accept the authority of your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable. But even if they are cruel. For God is pleased with you when you do what you know is right and patiently endure unfair treatment. I love this verse 20, especially in this translation. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for doing wrong. So in other words, if you're goofing off and you get in trouble, don't go whining to God about it, okay? Because the truth is that there's no, you don't get any extra credit if you're being rotten in your job, okay? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. Now, I wanted to bring this one passage up before we go because I wanted you to hear this. I learned my work ethic from my dad. My dad was a quiet man when I was growing up until he got mad. And then he got very angry very quickly. He had an explosive temper. Any of you know my dad now or met him, you would never think I'm telling you the truth, but I'm telling you the truth. I grew up with him. And my dad was very quiet. But my dad got up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, every morning. He got up. He would spend time with God. I knew he was doing that even though he never said it. He sat in the dark and he would be with the Lord. And then he would get ready for work. He always was at work early so he could hang out with some of the guys, because when he clocked in at 8 o'clock, he no longer now had the opportunity to goof off. In his mind, from that point till he clocked out for lunch and then when he clocked out at the end of the day, he was to give Sears all of his time. That's how he worked. He did. You could set your watch by the time my dad drove in the driveway. There is no way in this world my dad could be cheating on my mom, because there's no way he could have done it. There was no time. He got off at 4 and he drove in the driveway like 4:17 every single day. See, if I could be doing anything, I could be beating somebody up, I could be getting beat up, I could be jumping off the roof. I could do whatever I want to do. But at 4:17, buddy, you better be on the ground and doing right, because dad's truck was going to drive in the driveway. I mean, just every single day. My dad had 2 strokes back a number of years ago, and he had to take a medical retirement. I told you this, I think, before, but he had so many personal holidays that he had never taken, so much vacation time he had never taken, that he had enough salary from those days to pay his full salary between the time he had to take medical retirement and the short-term help that they give to the long-term disability kicked in, which was like, I don't know, 8 or 10 weeks. He had enough saved up time. That my mom and dad did not get one less dollar in their home, because my dad believed in going to work. He didn't call in sick because he just wanted to have a fluff day. My dad didn't call in sick when he was sick, much less to have a fluff day. He got personal holidays. Sears gave a personal holiday for everything. You got one for your birthday. You got one for your anniversary. You got one for the last time you had an ingrown toenail. I mean, you got a personal holiday for everything. He didn't take them. And so he was able to have enough days to take care of himself. And when long-term disability kicked in and then eventually his retirement and all that, he's been able to do pretty good. The reason why my dad never had any money when I was growing up, you know why? Because he gave to every single thing they said you could take out of your check. $1 for this and $1 for that and $5 for this, 15 cents for that. And he just participated in everything, so he had profit sharing coming out his nose. He had no idea how much money he had. When he retired, he was worth more than he was working. My dad's work ethic was phenomenal. He might have beat the snot out of me a few times, and he might not have treated me all right all the time, although he treated me probably better than he did everybody else. Don't tell my brothers I said that. But the truth is that my dad loved the Lord from the time I was about 6 or 7 years old on, and he had a work ethic that taught me how to work. Nobody has to tell me how to work. I know how to work. My dad taught me how. Well, I want you to know that the Father in heaven wants to teach us how to work. And we need to work as unto him. Because at the end of the day, it's not. It doesn't matter. At the end of all this world, it doesn't matter if my boss was pleased, though I hope he is, especially mine. It doesn't matter as much if I had a big pension or a big whatever. What matters is if God the Father was pleased with me. That's what 1 Peter 2 is about. If he's pleased with me, then I'm okay. See, I got this great eternal plan. It's a great plan, by the way. It is. It's a wonderful plan. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back. And I'm going to go to heaven. And all this stuff in this world won't matter anymore. But for every day that I get up and put my foot on the ground, I'm responsible to work as unto God. To be a pleasure to him. One day I get to be floating around in the clouds or whatever heaven's going to be like. I just think that'd be cool. So I just say that every once in a while just to throw that out there. I don't know how to play a harp, but you know what? I don't know if we'll get to do that in heaven, but I'd like to learn. I think I'll take harp lessons in heaven. What do you guys think? Harp lessons? How about just sitting around the mansion? Enjoying the presence of God. Maybe. Yeah. Go get a free concert. All I know is that I'm ready to go. But until he comes again for me, either through death or through the sky, I'm responsible to get up every morning and work as unto God. So may we do that. May we have that kind of ethic and respect for our jobs and our bosses and mostly our God. Amen.